Now, we're marking that word white for a good reason. Mark that word white in your mind. And all the brown among the sheep, he gave them to the hands of his sons, to Jacob's sons. Okay? He gave them to Jacob's sons. And he set, Laban, set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now you see it. Old Jacob's going to tend Laban's flocks. Jacob's sons are going to tend his old motley, his motleys, their inheritance. Now here comes the part you probably have never heard a lesson on, or if you did, you probably scratched your head, your teacher passed over it rapidly, and or taught it wrong, probably. Very important lesson. Verse 37, Jacob took him rods of green poplar and the almond and the chestnut tree and peeled white streaks in them. Notice they're white. See, just like up there at the front said, the animals, see, were speckled. They had some white streaks in them. And he's peeling white streaks in these limbs. And made the white appear which was in the rods, and he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they would conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle, striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped, and all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves, and put them not into Laban's cattle. In other words, he wasn't letting his old motleys running over there and interbreeding so that, you know, to ensure that he was getting them. All he was doing, he was tending Laban's purebreds. But when it, during the season when they mated, he let the males in with the females at the watering trough. And he put these striped poles in front of the watering troughs. You say, Floyd, what in the world? Is he a witch? What's this cat up to? You're going to love the answer. Now listen to me. We're about to see a man that's been changed by 14 years. He didn't trust God's promise when he left his mom and dad. But he's been in a hard school under a hard man, his Uncle Laban, for 14 years. And I want you to see something before we go on in the story. I want you to see a promise that God made to him. And it's back in chapter 28. You know the story. It's the story of Jacob's ladder. Was it Jacob's ladder, you reckon? I'd rather call it God's ladder. I don't know about you. I hate the story of Jacob's ladder. Jacob didn't make that ladder. God did. It was the ladder that connects heaven to earth. It was the cross of Jesus Christ. And it was Jesus at the top of that ladder. Verse 12, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it. Chapter 28, verse 13. The Jehovah stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land which you lie to thee, I will give it unto your seed, singular. He's promising to give it to the Messiah. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Here it's plural. He's saying you're going to have a lot of kids, but I'm going to give this land to your singular seed, the Messiah. That's what you wanted the blessing and the birthright for, boy. To get that Messiah through your loins. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy singular seed shall all... You guys don't know that, but I'm just telling you from the Hebrew, it's singular, okay? All the families of the earth will be blessed through the singular seed. Not through Jews as a people, but through the singular seed that was coming, all the earth would be blessed. Hallelujah. Behold, I am with thee. Oh, doesn't that sound like where we started tonight, Hebrews 13:5? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want you to see that God made him that same promise in Hebrews 13:5, slightly worded different. I am with you. I will keep you. I will bring you again to this land. I will not leave you till I have done that which I have spoken of. Woo, that's a good promise. Now remember, God made him a promise when he was still in his mother's womb, told his mama, Jacob, you're going to be the head of the family. The elder will serve the younger. Jacob didn't trust God. Tried to pull it off himself, got in a lot of trouble. His mama tried to help him pull it off. They got in trouble. as it was. He had to run from Esau. Couldn't see his home for 20 years. Couldn't see his mom and dad for 20 years. Never saw his mother again. She died while he was gone. That's a hard lesson to learn. I'm trying to keep you guys in here tonight from a 20-year drought in your life. I'm trying to show you that when we sin, certain sins, God forgives us, but before He restores us, sometimes 20 years go by, and you can't confess it away overnight. You can get forgiven in a moment, but man, you've got to live with the consequences of your sin sometimes. And I don't want you to have any of those. So we're learning, we're going to learn to trust the promise of God tonight. This is an incredible promise. It's almost the same one God promised you and me in Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. So when Jacob was a little boy growing up, he didn't trust the promise of God. When he got to be a 77-year-old man, shall we say that's old enough to trust God? If you're ever going to do it, by 77, you ought to do it. But he didn't. And it cost him 20 miserable years working for that rascal Laban. I want you to see what this boy is going to learn in 14 years. Boy, he's 91. We're reading about a 91-year-old right now. We got him 91. But I'm going to tell you something. Now this is, that's a lie that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. We're going to see this man of God learn and begin to walk in what he is. When he was 77, he really wasn't doing it right. But praise God, God let him live longer. And we're going to see that he's not the same man he was when he showed up 14 years earlier. There's hope for all of us. Hallelujah. So he's got a promise. He's got a new promise to hold on to that God made him when he was 77, when he was running. I'm not going to leave you, boy. You're going to inherit it all. And I'm going to stay with you and see to it that you come back here and give it all to you. God's promised that to you. I'm going to give it all to you, boy. Jesus is heir of all things and you're a joint heir with Him. I'm going to give it all to you. Will you believe it? Oh, Lord, why am I so forsaken? Why aren't you doing me good? I'm going to give it all to you. But you might have to wait 14, 20 years to get it. But will you believe it, Gene, in the meantime? See, will you just believe it while you're waiting to get it? Well, what is all this witchcraft-like stuff going on? That's the point. Everybody's scratching here. Floyd, you're going to love it. It came to pass, verse 41 will begin to give you the clue. It came to pass, whenever the stronger cattle did conceive. Ah, now we're getting some added information. He wasn't just doing that in front of all the cows. Whenever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive amongst those rods. But if the cattle were feeble, he did not put them in, so that the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. See, every time they see, so see what's happening? In Laban's flock, we're getting a bunch of offspring that are coming out all speckledy and white streaks and motley. So those are going to be Jacob's. So you take them out of the flock. Laban doesn't want them in the flock anyway. They're going to mess up his purebreds. So every time you get a bunch of those, he just walks in 3 days' journey over here to his flock. His flock keeps growing. Those are his. Laban agreed. And all the strong animals are bearing motleys. Laban's flock isn't growing one bit. And verse 43, the man increased exceedingly. Remember, he didn't have a dime. He had two wives, two concubines, 13 kids, and no money. He's increased exceedingly, had much cattle, maid servants, men servants, hey, and camels and asses. The much cattle, that is including, the, as it's already mentioned, the cows and the goats and the sheep. And you got everything there. Now, you say, well, how long did this take place? Now, before you go to verse chapter 31, we've got to pick up 13 verses here. Let's quickly look and see how long does this go on. Now, I've told you the answer. I let the cat out of the bag. 6 years, but you guys can't trust me. You can't trust any man. You better read the Bible for yourself. Let's see if I'm telling you the truth. Verse 38 of chapter 31. Let's just pick up the, you know, to check out that part. Now, this is Jacob and Laban having a talk. Jacob says to Laban, these 20 years I have been with you, and your ewes and your she-goats have not cast their young. That means not had one miscarriage. Can you imagine this huge herd of flock and herds and everything had had one miscarriage because of Jacob's presence? God is blessing Laban. Even though Jacob's getting that big herd, there's not been one miscarriage. That's right. You go back to Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses. And one of the blessings is you won't have miscarriages. It's a blessing not to have a miscarriage. You girls in here, some of you have had miscarriages. A lot of you in here have had miscarriages. You didn't feel very blessed. It hurt, didn't it? It bothered you, you know? Well, good. You did some good soul searching at that time. Maybe it wasn't because of any specific sin. And again, maybe it was. It just depends. But the point is, there's no question that the Bible teaches miscarrying is part of the curse. Not necessarily a curse against you, but it's just the curse. The curse is here. We're getting old. We're dying. That's the curse. It's been paid for, not removed. So if you go into a room and everybody's got the measles and you've never had the measles, you're probably going to get the measles. That's part of the curse. Okay? Verse 41, thus I have been 20 years in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your cattle. And you think you've changed my wages 10 times. Now, that he wasn't bragging. That was a complaint. In other words, he changed the contract on him 10 times. I'll tell you exactly what he changed. We'll see it in a minute if you don't know. There's no question what the contract got changed on. So, have you all got that? He said there he worked 14 years for the two wives and 6 years for the animals. So that's how we know that it was 97 years. Now, I hadn't showed you the math of how to figure up the 77 years because that'd take me about 12 scriptures and 30 minutes to prove it. You can prove it for yourself if you'll go through there. You can find all the verses to add it up for yourself just like I did and like a lot of other people have. But now come back to chapter 31, verse 1. To continue our story for 13 verses. And Jacob, he Jacob, heard the words of Laban's sons. Uh-oh, new characters are introduced into our play. Laban's sons are bellyaching. Sure, Laban's getting old. They're going to inherit. And Laban, they're looking and old. Jacob is getting old. Their animals are breeding, and all they keep breeding and having are speckles. And they're watching old, they're watching Jacob get rich as far as they're concerned at their expense. And they're getting mad about it. Saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. Whoa. Do you see how boys get greedy over inheritance? Their daddy didn't have a pot when Jacob got there. He didn't have anything. He admitted it, and Jacob confirmed it. Now their daddy's rich, thanks to Jacob's presence and the blessings of God. But they don't see it that way. When it starts getting time for inheritance time, ooh. Where did we start this lesson? Hebrews 13:5. Be thou not, what was that word? Covetous. Oh, you see how all this is working in real nicely? I'm having so much fun. They're covetous. Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. And of all that was our father's, has he gotten all this wealth. Jacob's gotten rich at our daddy's expense. Jacob made their daddy rich. Now Jacob's getting rich. Okay? Verse 3, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return to the land of your father and to your kindred, and I will be with thee. Important verse. Remember God told him, we read it just a few minutes ago, I'm going to bring you back. You're going to get it all. Everything I've promised you back here. And now God says, time's up. I want you to leave. So we see now that at the end of the 20 years, God says, I want you to do something. Return. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock and said to them, I see your father's countenance. It is not toward me as before. Right. It can't be. Number one, he's having trouble seeing Jacob get rich. And number two, he's really having trouble because his sons are bellyaching about it. It says, your father's countenance, it's not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me, and you know that with all my power I have served your father. Did you hear that? Jacob was a dirty rat for a boss, but he served him as unto the Lord. How many of you work for, don't raise your hands, please, for bosses that are just about as dirty a rat as old Laban? I doubt if any of you work for anybody worse than Laban. I mean, somebody that's going to change your wages 10 times, never better, always worse. But I want you to see, hey, I want you to learn faithfulness. Jacob got himself in a bind by dishonoring his daddy and dishonoring his older brother. And now he's living with it. It isn't easy not seeing your daddy and mama for 20 years. But he's living with it. You never see him bellyache and saying, God, you it's all your fault. He knows who got him into all this. He did. And he worked. Laban was pleased with his work. He wasn't complaining about the work. He was complaining that the animals were all the wrong color. Jacob's color. That was the problem. It's a real lesson for us in working as unto the Lord when we've got a fink for a boss. In other words, Jacob is learning something. Authority. He's learning to honor people in authority over him, even when that guy's a rat. Heavy, heavy, heavy. Verse 7, and your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. See, I told you that the wages were always down. See, they were deceptions. We read the contract, right? They made a verbal contract. Got any lawyers in here? Is Stephen here with us tonight? They made a verbal contract. And Laban changed it on him 10 times. You say, well, what did he change it to? Well, we'll see in a second. But God allowed him not to hurt me. If he said thus, here's the change in the contract. See, old Laban saw, what was happening is all the animals were coming out speckled. So, verse 8, old Laban said, in that case, no, none of them were coming out speckled. So what he said was, the speckles will be your wages. Then all the cattle were speckled. And Laban looked and says, oh my gosh, all the cattle are speckled. Then he goes over and says, wait a minute, let me change it. I'll take the speckles, you have the spotteds and the streaked and the this and the that's. He said, well, if he said that, then the striped will be your hire. Then all the cows bore striped. See, no matter what Laban... See, first thing was, Jacob could have all of them that weren't pure. So they all started coming out motley. So Laban looked at that and he says, okay, we'll change it. From now on, you can have the speckles. Then everything got born speckled. Everything was speckled. Laban watched and says, I got a different idea. I'll keep the speckles, you take the spotteds. All of a sudden, everything came out spotted. And this happened 10 times. See, that? Al, that's the point. 10 times, whatever Laban said, it went the other way. No, you really don't get what you confess with your mouth. Laban made some wonderful confessions. But God is sovereign over mouths. God had a plan. And nobody's mouth would alter God's plan. And no wonder he says he didn't allow God didn't allow the guy to hurt him. Laban is furious over this. He's steaming. Now look at verse 9. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. Now look. I want you to see that Jacob, by the testimony of his own mouth, did not give credit to those stakes that he put in front of the watering troughs. He didn't say, thanks to me whittling on some wood and sticking it in front, I had these cows. No, he gave total credit, total testimony to God. God has made me rich. God made me rich. God has blessed me. God is... In other words, Jacob didn't say that the cattle's colors depended on his totem poles, shall we say. His little... peeled branches. In other words, Jacob knew that God controlled genetics. Well, I'm trying to get you to focus on something. Then he wasn't putting them there witching. You got me? You say, well, what did he do? I'll tell you that in a minute. That you don't want me to say that yet. That's but I'm close. Let's get these last verses. Verse 10. And it came to pass, now here's the key, listen, I want you to know that these next verses, everything to understand in it, and I'm teaching you a Bible principle, hear me again, my beloved brothers and sisters, I am teaching you something very important tonight, not just why these animals came out this color, I'm going to tell you why, I know exactly why, and when I tell you, you'll say, oh, isn't that easy, how could anyone have ever missed it? The Bible is for children. Al, it'll always be easy, won't it? When you see it, when God gives revelation, it's going to be easy. Now listen to me. But I'm teaching you something more important than the story. I'm teaching you how to find out for yourself. The reason you guys can't figure it out most of the time is you stopped at chapter 30. Do you hear me? See, it finished telling about those animals there in chapter 30. Most of us are such lazy readers that we got there and said, boy, that doesn't make any sense at all. Folded the Bible and went on your merry way. 10 years later, maybe you read chapter 31, but by that time you forgot what you had learned in chapter 30 and you didn't tie it together. I have read many commentaries on this, never had anyone explain it. Most of them say, I'll tell you what I read in one. Said that Jacob figured his wives wouldn't go back with him, so he made up the story of this dream in verse 10, saying that God told him to do it to get the wives to go with him. And in doing that, once they disregarded that, there was no way they would understand the story then. See, this is the key. This is the key. Verse 10. And it came to pass at the time the cattle conceived. Oh, you didn't know this. See, we read about all that conceiving, didn't we? But we didn't know this had already happened at the same time. See what happens when you read the next chapter? You find out that there was more going on than we knew about, Fred. It came to pass at the time the cattle conceived. See, it doesn't say that Jacob made this story up and told his wives. It says it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived. I lifted up my eyes and I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were striped, speckled, and spotted. And in this dream, the angel of God spoke unto me in this dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. Now, he's already talked to this guy before. He met him back there at the well. He recognizes him. It's Jesus, Jehovah, with a body up there, talking to him. And he said, lift up now your eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are striped, speckled, spotted. For I have seen all that Laban did to you. Woo! Will you believe it? Laban didn't know that. Your wicked boss doesn't know it. If you've got a wicked husband, he may not know God saw what he did to you. Oh, you don't have to fear. God will not leave you nor forsake you. Look, it's been 20 years coming, honey, but it's coming. I'm trying to tell all of you something. Our problem is we want God's hand to move immediately. Yeah, we do when it's going to get somebody else, but not me. Lord, be merciful and patient with me, but strike him dead tonight. But you see, it's the patience of God in dealing with that man that may get him saved before that happens. Do you hear what I'm saying, James? Years ago, if God had struck you dead when you darn well deserved it, right? You wouldn't be in here tonight saved in one of my brothers. Boy, I'm glad God was patient with him. Back when you may have been praying that God would strike him dead. If you were talking to God in those days, honey. So do you see what I'm getting at? God always comes through. He just doesn't come through, Chuck, as fast as you want it sometimes. But it's His wisdom. His wisdom. If God had come through back when Jacob wanted... Do you want to know when Jacob wanted God to get Laban? Honey, it wasn't after 20 years. It was after 6 months, at least. I'll tell you more. It was when he woke up with Leah, probably within 2 months. That's when he wanted God. But you see, if he'd have done that, he wouldn't have been rich. God was going to make him rich through old Laban. And before it's over, Laban gets a big testimony. We won't be studying that part of it. But old Jacob gets to give a big testimony. And Laban isn't a saved man in this story. In this story, Laban is a good pagan. He acknowledges Jehovah. Oh, good old Jehovah. He's one of the gods, and so are my little idols. I don't want to offend Jehovah. But of course, I don't want to offend my little idols. See, you're not saved when you worship both. See, God doesn't come and offer Himself as one of the gods to us, does He, Bert? He says, I am Lord, the Lord. That means only one master. It's me or nobody. Laban played footsies with any god that he thought he didn't want to offend any of them. You know, just made a good Hindu. Now watch this. Verse 12, he said, God says to him, for I have seen what Laban did to you. Woo! I am the God of Bethel. In case you don't know who I am, boy, in case you've forgotten in the last 20 years when you looked up on that ladder and you and I struck a covenant. I told you I was going to bless you, and I told you I was going to take you home. And I told you I'd protect you till I took you home. Have I done it? Have I left you or forsook you? Have you got 13 kids and 4 wives? Whew, what a mess. Where you anointed the pillar, and where you vowed a vow unto me, uh-oh, he said, big mouth, you vowed a vow. It's time to pay up. Now, Jacob doesn't want to pay up, but on the way home, Jesus shows up in the flesh and wrestles with him all night and says, you vowed, baby, and you're going to do it if it breaks your leg. And it darn near did that night. Jesus showed up in the flesh and changed Jacob's walk. He limped from that day forward. And every limp he took reminded him, you know, it isn't so bad to lose when you fight with God. It really isn't so bad. I fought with him all night and I lost that fight, but boy, did I become a winner. Because that night when Jesus turned to walk away, Jacob grabbed him and says, look, I know I've been a rat, but at least I believe in the blessing and the birthright. When you believe in the blessing and the birthright, it means you believe in the seed, in the inheritance, in the Messiah, the singular seed, the one that he told him he was going to give him. Jacob understood Hebrew. He knew that seed was singular. He knew what it meant. His daddy told him about the blessing and the birthright. He knew all about the promise of the Messiah coming through him. Get you out of this land. Return to the land of your kindred. Now, have you got it? Back when it was time for the cattle to breed, God gave him this dream. Spoke to him in the dream and told him, it's time to leave. I want you to return. And in this dream, he told him that in verse 10, that all the animals at breeding time were going to come out to belong to him. They were all going to come out ring-straked, speckled, spotted, motley, no matter who bred. You say, well, Floyd, that's wonderful. I thank you, but I don't catch why he peeled those limbs. He went grocery shopping on a promise from God. Now listen, you can't do this with just any promise in the Bible. You can do it when God speaks the promise to you. When the Logos of God becomes a rhema to you. When the whole Word is the Logos. That's all of it. There's sometimes you can't claim those promises because you're not qualifying.
Amen.
You know, if you're committing adultery and quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit, don't. And all of a sudden you find out you got venereal disease, don't go, oh Lord, thank you that I really don't have anything but symptoms. Hallelujah, I'm not really sick. You better find some penicillin. Or fall on your face and repent and call on God to heal you, because baby, you got it. There's times that though the promises are there and they're good, you're trying to cash a promissory note at the bank of heaven with a forgery, because your name isn't on the check, because you don't qualify. You can, you might, could. It's there to be used by you someday. I got a good promissory note. There's one right now. I got it. It's one of the best ones at all. Oh, listen to me, Raymond. It says, Floyd, you're going to get a brand new body. The scar on my old football knee is about 12 inches long. That finger looks bad, and I'm locked at the joint on my left elbow. I mean, my left wrist is 3/4 of an inch to an inch smaller than my right one from an old war wound in the old days. My teeth, y'all. People did bad things to my teeth back when I played football and boxed. They just didn't appreciate my teeth at all. My eyes. Have you noticed I wear glasses? God told me there was a curse down here and that you'd grow old and die. And unless the rapture comes, I am definitely going to die. I can tell. This bod may look decent to you, but if you were inside it, you would know that it's a housing project. I'm going down the tubes fast. But there's a wonderful promise in the Bible that I'm going to get a new body. Hallelujah. But I can go up and pound on the windows of heaven tonight and not get that promissory note. It is not mine tonight. It's a promise, and I'm going to get it. But I can't have it now. And if I try to cash that, demand it at the bank of heaven, I'm a forger, because right now, that's a promissory note, but it's no good. There's a date written down in fine print on it, and I can't read the date. God says, I can't know the day, nor the hour. I just can't read that fine print. You know how those lawyers do those things. But what's God doing? Listen to me. Jacob has learned his lesson 14 years earlier. He didn't believe the promise of God and lied. Rather, 20 years earlier. He didn't believe the promise. And he lied to gyp his daddy and cheat his brother. But he's learned God in this dream. When it came time, he separated the animals, put 3 days between them, Laban's flock and his flock. And he set his sons over his flock, and he's shepherding Laban's flock. And it's getting time to breed. And God gives him a supernatural dream. And in the dream, God shows him that all the animals are going to come out his way. Doesn't matter who breeds with who. Now look, I don't know whether God did that by, for years and years, having it all fixed up so that the recessive genes would be just right, or whether it was just a blatant out-and-out miracle. Either one's fine with me. But I don't care if a pure white bred with a pure white, they came out speckled. And I want you to see what, listen, God gave him the dream and told him that's the way it was going to be, and told him that when that happened, he was to return home rich. This that God is doing to Laban is exactly what God did to the Egyptians when the Israelites left Egypt. They had worked for nothing. They were slaves, and that isn't right. So God let them leave rich. They despoiled the Egyptians. Remember, the Egyptians said, leave, leave. Here's all my gold, all my silver. Here's my best silk gown. Take it and get out, lest another plague come. And that was right. They owed those people for years of work that they weren't paying them. That's what God is doing to Laban. Laban hadn't paid him a dime for 14 years. Now during the last 6 years, God is just blessing Jacob. God's doing the right thing, and it's just tearing Laban up. But Laban shouldn't be torn up. He's rich already. But he wasn't content with what he had. Hebrews 13:5. And his sons weren't content. They were covetous. But old Jacob has learned, and God says, it's going to happen. They're going to be yours. They're going to all come out right. And Jacob believed it. You say, how do you know Jacob believed it? Oh, brothers and sisters, that's what he did with those stakes. They were tokens, memorials of the covenant promise God made him. He walked out to that water trough just like you go into the grocery store. He picked out his animals. God told me these were going to be mine. Well, what do you know? And he just made him a little, like a little token of the covenant. Like a rock pile or planted a tree. He walked to that water trough, saw a good-looking, healthy, young animal walking up, says, I want one out of her. Drove a stake right in front of her, says, Lord, that one. He believed that dream. And now he's picking out his own flock. Oh, Lord, look at that. Woo! Whap, whap, and drove another stake right in the ground. And he made them speckled and straight and everything, because in the dream, that's what God told him he was going to have. So he says, well, I believe it. In other words, he acted on what he believed. But it was more than acting on what he believed. God had told him it, but God had told him before, and he didn't believe it. Oh, what a difference 14 years has made in that boy's life. Boy, he's 97 years old. No, it is not too late to learn to walk with God and to trust the promises of God. And so, beloved, he was not witching to change the genes. These stakes were testimonies of faith in that dream. They were memorials of the covenant dream. They were testimonies before everybody that he believed the promise. Hey, if you'd have been there, listen. If you'd have walked up to Jacob and watched, see, that's the problem. You read the story, but you weren't there. If you'd have been there and you'd have walked up and watched that fool, you know, I mean, Mike, that would look like he was a fool. Wouldn't you have to say that, you know, everybody's breeding here at this, and this idiot's over there peeling some branches and then walking in front, you know, looking at animals and drives a stake down there at the watering gutter. If you'd have been there, you'd have had to. You couldn't have stood it. You'd have walked up and said, what gives? What are you doing? And Jacob would have looked at you like you didn't know the first thing. I'm picking out my animals. How do you know those are your animals? He'd tell you. Well, I'll tell you. I had a dream the other night from God. I recognized him. He and I had one of those kind of dreams 20 years earlier. It was awesome. And he told me that all these animals were going to come out my color. And I believe him. And he told me that when that happened, when conception was all over and the flocks all had, that I was to return home. And all during that time, old Laban, you know what Laban's doing? He's changing the rules on him. He keeps changing rules. Doesn't matter. Old Jacob just goes down there and keeps looking, says that one. And if Laban said he wanted the speckled ones, that one came out streaked. And if Laban said he wanted the streaked ones, this one came out speckled. But all he did was, he was laying claim to the promise of God. God told him he would not leave him nor forsake him. And he would make a name for him. And he believed it. It's important again that in 31:9, Jacob didn't say those rods made those animals that color. He said God did it. He just happened to believe it. And so these are tokens of that promise. Just like water baptism is a token of your salvation. It's a witness. Those stakes were witnesses. And if you'd asked him, he said, oh, I'm glad you asked. Just like when someone said, why'd you get water baptized? I'm glad you asked. You see, going in the water represents, see, that water represents the grave. And that going in there under that water represents me dying. And coming out represents me coming out of the grave. So what I'm saying when I go in there is, I believe Jesus went in the grave for me and came out. I believe he was raised from the dead. I say that by this water. It's a witness. Oh, it tells you something else. I believe if I die and get buried in the ground, I'll come out too. I believe that when Jesus died, my old sin nature died. And I came out with a new nature, walking in newness of life. It means all that. I'm glad you asked. That's what water baptism is. It's a witness. The laying on of the hands of the elders as someone is ordained, an elder is ordained. It's a witness. It's a testimony that this man has been called by God, and we believe God is going to fill him with the Spirit. We believe God is going to fill him with wisdom and use him as a gift in the body of Christ. We are laying claim, a witness. To people come in and say, why are you laying hands on that guy? God's called him. I'm glad you asked. This man has been singled out by God amongst us. We're so happy. We're not envious or jealous. We're so thrilled God had to pick some of us. We're so happy. And he picked him. And so now we're calling on God to confirm it with the power of the Holy Spirit, wisdom from the Word, revelation to make him an elder, to make him what God's already said he is. The witness, the anointing with oil for the sick is a witness as we claim the promise that God said in James 5. You elders pray the prayer of faith, anoint with oil, I'll heal them, God says. The oil doesn't do the healing. It's just like Jacob. See, if you think that oil is going to do the healing, then it's like you thinking that Jacob peeling those streaks, that that's what's going to give you the right color cows and sheep and goats. Jacob said, no, that isn't what did it. God did it. That's right. We just do these as token symbols that we believe those promises of God. And we're laying hold to them to live with them. And so, beloved, Jacob has learned his lesson from having to flee from Esau, having to leave his home, having to leave his parents that he loved, and having to go to work for an awfully hard man, Laban. This time, he believed the promise God made him in Genesis 28:15. Everything we learn in Hebrews 13:5-6 is illustrated in this simple story. Now you understand the story. Well, there's not a doubt in your mind that that is what that story means. I know that. You can see it now. Isn't it funny? Mike, how once you see it, you can really see how easy it is. When God speaks a promise to you, and there's a lot of ways he can speak it. He spoke it to Jacob in a dream. But he can speak it to you as you read the scriptures. He can speak it to you as I teach. He can speak it to you through your loved ones. Just they're talking and just suddenly you know. He can speak it to you out loud, scare the bejesus out of you, but he can do it. That's one reason why he doesn't do that very often. Our fallen nature is scared to hear the voice of God. You may think you want to hear the voice of God until you hear it. The children of Israel thought they wanted to hear the voice of God until he spoke to them at Mount Sinai. And then they told Moses, tell God not to do that again. You don't have to wait 20 years to learn this. You don't have to walk around, shall we say, Jacob walked around Mount Sinai for 20 years, shall we say, learning what he should have already known. I'm so glad that God loves you and me so much that he put simple little stories like this in the Bible so that we can read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 and believe it and receive it without having to work for Laban 20 years. Would you stand? Hallelujah. These are stories in Genesis that most of you don't understand. They're too important for that. God wants his people to understand him because it's in understanding him that you trust him. It's see, love is built on trust and understanding. As you understand God better through his word, you'll see and perceive to love him more. You'll rest in it. You don't have to get nervous and uptight about it. What was your part in tonight's lesson? Don't be covetous. And be content with what you have. That's your part. What's God's part? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Aren't you glad God picked that part for him to do? Aren't you glad that God is telling us through that, hey, you let me play God. You just play people. I'll play God. I'll do the tough part. You do the easy part. I'm glad God makes it so clear for me what my part is. And golly, that was easy. Floyd, don't let covetous take hold of you, take root in you. Now listen to me. We all have problems with being covetous. That's a sin, and we have problems with it. So what are you going to do about it? Well, don't hide it. Tell God the truth about it. Lord, thank you for tonight's lesson. I'm glad I saw that. I do have trouble with covetousness. And Lord, it's sin. I don't want it. I can't get rid of it. But Jesus has already died and paid for it. So I just repent of it. And then God will give you the grace to walk free of it. Your job is to confess that it's a problem and repent. His part is to take it away. It's already been paid for. That's the good part. Aren't you glad he did that part? That was a tough part too. What about being content with what you've got? Come on now, that's tough, y'all. Being content, you look at somebody else's wife. Look at somebody else's car. Ooh-wee. Somebody else's job. Should have been mine. Someone else's call from God. I mean, I could be sitting here seething over Billy Graham's. Lord, it should have been me. I mean, he's got all those people listening. I'm so glad he does. And I'm so glad each of you are being edified in the body of Christ so that you can tell someone too. He said, before I don't draw as big a crowd as Billy, neither do I understand that. But you be faithful to what God's called you to do, encouraging me to be faithful to what God's called me to do, and we'll let God use Billy. Hallelujah. You heard a remarkable story about a man that learned to trust God. And here's what I want you to hear. Observe when he was 77 years old and he didn't trust God, God didn't throw him away. God never gave up on Jacob. Don't you ever give up on you. God hadn't. And I want you to see that God, through his love and patience, letting Jacob go through the mill, it was tough, brought him out a real man that would trust God at age 97. So don't get despondent over the, quote, wasted years. So however many God gives you, use them, trusting God. I'm going to dismiss you then with a word of prayer.